All right. I want us to prepare our hearts to hear the word this morning. I want us to prepare our hearts to hear from the Lord. He has a word for each one of us today, and he wants to minister to you. And wherever you are, just be in the attitude. Let's respect the word of God. Say an amen. Put a comment under the video that you're watching. That's the only way I can see and hear that you're getting the word straight to where you are. Glory be to God. Let's go straight to the word this morning. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4. This has been our anchor scripture. For everything that has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. Somebody might be saying, Pastor, you've been on this scripture for a long time. What are you going to be saying to us today? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for this word. I pray for this moment. Lord, would you speak to your children today? Heavenly Father, even as we have lingered on this word, today we trust you for a fresh word. We trust you that this word will be new. This word will transform lives. This word will trigger a new dimension of a walk with you. I pray for them right now, wherever they are watching. May their spirit man be open to hear your word. We give you glory and we give you praise. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. If you're joining us for the first time today, you find us in the middle of a series titled Destined to Overcome. We are in the middle of a series titled Destined to Overcome. And this morning I want to start off by telling you that your end is not determined by prevailing circumstances right now. Your end is not determined by the sickness you are going through right now. Your end is not determined by the lack of finances that you're experiencing right now. But I want to say categorically that your end was determined by what happened on the cross. Your end was determined by the victory that Jesus got for you on the cross. That is why we are talking about being destined to overcome. Whatever you're going through right now, it doesn't spell your end. You're simply walking through the season. The Bible says there is a time to be born. There is a time to die. There is a time to embrace. There is a time to cast off restraints. There is a time to give life. There is a time to mourn. There is a time to laugh. There are seasons that will come our way. But your season will not determine your end. Your end shall be, come therein into the kingdom of your Father. That's our end. It's a glorious end. Now, this morning, I want to teach you on another principle that will help you to appropriate that which Jesus did for you on the cross. And the title of our message today is Full of Faith. Destined to overcome. Why? Because we are a people of faith. I want you to tell yourself and say, I am a person of faith and I am full of faith. You can be filled by different things in your life. But I'm going to say to you today, as a child of God, you are supposed to be filled by faith. The NIV version of our anchor scripture says, and we achieve these victories. We achieve this overcoming life through our faith. We achieve all of these exploits in our lives through our faith. We achieve victory in our marriages through our faith. We experience victory in our businesses through our faith. Our children will make it through our faith. That is why we are talking about full of faith today. You see, you need to realize that faith is the bridge that connects you with the victory that Jesus has appropriately acquired for you. Faith is the link between your situation and the victory that is found in the Lord Jesus. In the absence of your faith, you will not be able to reach out to that which Jesus said, it is finished. Come on now. You see, an overcomer is a person who is full of faith. And that's an overcomer. A loser is a person who is full of fear. That is why I'm saying to you, you need to walk this life with your tank full of faith. If you put water in your tank, your vehicle tank, you will not drive that vehicle. It's the wrong product that's in the tank. But when you put in that 95 unleaded petrol, you can push that V6 engine of yours and it will take you where you need to go. And I'm saying to you today, when you fill your heart with faith, that heart of yours will take you to your desired heaven. Glory be to God. But if you fill your heart with fear, with timidity, you'll be stopped in your tracks. Fear and faith are two powerful principles that bring about contrasting results in somebody's life. Both of them will give you results. One of them will keep you standing. Another one will keep you moving. Keep walking. I remember watching an advert, Johnny Walker says, keep walking. I don't know why they say keep walking on Johnny Walker. But anyway, you've got to keep walking. Fill your heart with something that will cause you to keep believing, to keep dreaming. Glory be to God. Put this down. Faith allows you to reach out to life with a positive expectation, whilst fear blinds you to any possibilities. Faith will cause you to reach out to life expectant of a better future. I was telling my kids last night as we were doing devotion, and I was saying to them, it doesn't matter, even if you haven't been going to school, you will become what God has called you to be. You will become that doctor. You will become that engineer. One of our kids wants to be a medical doctor. Another one wants to be an electronic engineer. That's what they're talking about right now. And I need to speak into that and say, don't look at this situation right now and say, will I become it? Why? Because faith allows you to reach out to life with expectations. What are you expecting concerning your tomorrow? You see, your level of faith determines the extent of your victory in this world. The Bible has told us that, and this is the victory that we have, even our faith. The level of your faith will determine your level of victory. You see, when the enemy wants to stop you, he attacks your faith. When the enemy wants to take you off track, he attacks your ability to look at God and to believe in his goodness. We were singing today, this morning, good, good Father. He is a good Father. That is who he is. And I am the loved one. That is who I am. Oh, man, when you have that revelation of who you are before God, nothing will stop you. You see, the devil wants to make your faith to malfunction. In this season of the pandemic, a lot of believers have experienced shipwreck of their faith. Where their faith is now malfunctioning, where their faith is no longer giving them the results that they need. I don't know where you are today, but I want you to realize you need to get filled up again today. Hallelujah. You need to sing those songs, fill me up until I overflow. Hallelujah. I love that song by Tasha Cobbs. Fill me up, Lord. Until I overflow. When you are filled by faith, the impossible become possible. You know, you need to realize that without faith, it's impossible to be saved. Starting with your soul, you cannot be born again unless you have faith. And I want to take that further down into your life and say, unless you have faith, you will not be saved from your calamities, the problems that you're experiencing right now. Without faith, you cannot develop an intimate relationship with God. Why? Because I'm told somewhere in Hebrews 11 verse 6 that without faith, it is impossible to please God. When you are not pleasing unto God, it's difficult to become intimate with him. Without faith in your life, it's impossible to bear fruit. The Bible tells us that to him that believes, all things are possible. How are you believing? What's your belief system? I want you to realize that in the kingdom of God, the delivery system is called faith. That's why we need to be filled up with faith. But as we talk about faith, I want to ask you a question wherever you are right now. What is the object of your faith? What's the object of your faith? Put this down. Everyone is a believer. But the issue is the object of one's belief. Everybody believes. Some believe in tokoloshes. They believe. Some believe in themselves more than they believe in anything else. Some believe in their husbands more than they believe in anything else. You are a believer, and I want to ask you a question. What do you believe in? Many people have faith, but their faith is misplaced. We have faith, but our faith is in our friends. Don't you realize that your friend is like you? You have given up before. He's going to give up on you someday. The object of your faith determines whether what you have actually will work. You see, you need to believe in something that is strong enough to take you out of trouble. You need to believe in something that is strong enough to bring healing in your body when sickness comes into your life. You need to believe in something that is strong enough to sustain you when you get that retrenchment letter. Because if your faith was on your job, if your faith was in your job, the day the job is taken away, what then? You've got to believe in something that's bigger than your problems. 1 John 5 verse 5. The Bible tells us, who then overcomes the world? Who then overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Who is it that overcomes? Who is it that has the right type of faith? It is that one that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And here John is showing us what should be the object of our faith. The object of your faith should be in the Son of the living God. The object of our faith should be in the resurrected King of glory. And I want to say this to us this morning as a church. We need to get back to that place where we are convinced that Jesus is real to me. That Jesus is the Son of the living God. You know why? The more you are convinced on who Jesus is, the more you can experience victory in your life. Put this down. Faith connects you with Jesus. And it makes him to become a tangible reality to your senses. When you have faith in the Son of the living God, he ceases from being a distant entity to be somebody who is so close to you, somebody who gets into your space and he walks with you on the journey. You remember the guys who were on the road of Emmaus? They were crying over the death of Jesus. They were mourning, they were grieving, and they were saying, we don't know what has happened. We thought this man was going to be with us for long. But what has happened in this city? Jesus appeared. In their moment of grieving, in the moment of not understanding the world falling apart and in front of them, and Jesus would ask, tell me, what really happened in this city? Do you know that when Jesus is real to you, when you are crying and wetting your pillowcase, he is right there with you. You'll be able to sense his presence. You'll be able to remain quiet, and you know he hears your prayer. Do you know that it's not every prayer that needs words? Sometimes you don't need words. You just need a heart that is full of faith. A heart that says, only if God can just come down and change my situation. Hannah was like that. She was a woman of prayer. Then she was mumbling and mumbling some words. I'm now in 1 Samuel chapter 3, chapter 2, thereabouts, when she was praying and grieving in her heart and say, Lord, if you can just bless me with a son. And the priest looked at her and thought she was drunk because she was just mumbling. What's going on in your heart right now? Are you full of faith? You see, when you are full of faith, you won't stop praying. You will pray when you don't feel like praying. You will pray when you feel like praying. You will pray when you are alone. You will pray in a crowd. Why? You are full of faith. faith connects you with Jesus. Your faith brings you victory if it enables you to fully trust in the person of Jesus. That is what your faith will do. You see, a major component of faith is an unwavering trust in someone. When you have faith in someone, you have an unwavering trust in that person. You see, trust is a firm belief in the reliability or the trustworthiness, the ability, the strength of somebody or something. You trust your vehicle to take you from point A to point B. That is why you get into it and you say, I'm going to go to work. You trust that your vehicle would get you to work. Trust and faith are inseparable. And I want to ask you a question today. How much do you trust the person of Jesus with the problems you are experiencing right now? Isaiah 26 verse 3 to 4, it says, you keep him, who God, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is focused on you. Why? Why is this individual focused on God instead of focusing on things falling apart? This person is focused on Jesus because he trusts in him. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock. You see, when you trust God, it doesn't mean you will not get in trouble sometimes. You trust God because you know when floods come your way, he will come through for you. You trust God because you know even when the news is bad news, he will have the last say. Come on now, somebody. I'm talking about total trust in God. That is why this man has got peace. This peace comes from knowing that he is able. He is able. He will do it again and again and again. He will come through for you. Therefore, you can conquer the world if you trust in Jesus. Now listen to me. Trust brings you into a constant living and loving connection with the great conqueror. Trust brings you into a constant living connection. It's a continuous. You are by yourself. You think about him and you know he will come through for me. You are all by yourself at home. You trust him. He will come through for me. You and I have got to be convinced that he will come through. Whether it's in the middle of the night or is in the early in the morning, in the midday, he will come through for us. He's never late. He's never too early either. You see, you can appropriate Christ's conquest when you lean on him. When you lean on me, when you lean on him, when you depend on him, glory be to God. So the reason why many believers fail to walk in victory, it is because they don't trust in Jesus. Now, why do believers do that? Why do believers struggle to walk in victory? It is because they don't trust in him. Now, at the center of this, there is an absence of belief that Jesus, one, is able, two, he is willing to save. So you'll have believers who believe that Jesus is able. They believe that Jesus can, but they don't really believe that he wants to do it for them. They think it's for the pastor, it is for them, it is for that one, not me. I want to ask you a question. Are you one of those believers who think that Jesus is able, but he is not willing to do it for me? And want to break that spirit in the name of Jesus. That as long as you're called by his name, he is willing and he is able. Glory be to God. You see, the issue of trust, just as it is in our physical relationships, you will not believe in a stranger that they will come through with their promise. If you don't know me that well, if you just trust me, you are a gullible person and there's a problem with you. Why? Because trust is earned. There has to be a track record that says, this is how this guy has dealt with situations, and we have no reason to doubt that he will do exactly the same way he has done before. So in your relationships, you do not trust strangers because you don't know their track record. So trust is a matter of character. Trust is earned and not demanded. So the more you know someone, the easier it is to trust them. I've been married for 14 years. I have trust in my wife. I trust her that wherever she goes, she will behave in the same way. Why? Because I've been with her 14 years. The longer you've been with Jesus, the longer you've gotten to know him, the easier it is to take him at his word. Put this down. When you fail to trust the person of Jesus, you cut your access to a life of victory. He's the carrier of victory. And therefore, if there is no trust in his person, you cannot access the victory that is found in Jesus. It reminds me of the city of Nazareth. The city of Nazareth missed out on the visitation of God because it failed to trust their own. Hello? It failed to trust their own. The Bible says in Matthew 13, verse 53, let's read this slowly for us to get this in our hearts. Maybe that is where you are right now concerning your walk with Jesus. I want to speak to the veterans, those of you who've been in the Lord for years, 27 years, 30 years in the Lord, 5 years in the Lord. You have gotten used to Jesus. You have gotten used to the word, and like, I've heard that before. I know this Jesus. Really? The Bible says, and it happened when Jesus finished these parables, he departed from there. And when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so much so that they were astonished and said, from where does this man have this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers James, Joseph, and Simon, and Judas? In other words, he's an ordinary guy. We know his mama. We know his papa. We know his brothers. What's the difference between him and Judas? What's the difference between him and James? Same phenomena. They are the same. And who does he think he is? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Then from where does this man have all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and in his own house. Verse 58, look at that. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief, Jesus was not able to do many miracles. Was it because Jesus had lost his power? No, it was because this crowd failed to trust him. You see, it's not the absence of power in the Lord Jesus concerning your life. It's the absence of your trust in him. And that's what we need to deal with this morning. And he did not do many miracles because of their unbelief. May the Lord help our unbelief this morning so that we can go back to that childlike faith that we had when we got born again, where we are able to stand in the place of prayer and waiting upon him because he promised that he would do it again. I want to ask you this morning, Have you lost your trust in Jesus? Many of us have gone through difficult times in this season. Many of us, maybe we have prayed for the sick, but the sick did not get healed. And because of that, we have lost our trust of Jesus' willingness to save and to deliver. May the Lord help you and I today to come back to our senses and to know that He is Jesus, the Son of the living God. The question is, how do you become full of faith? How do I get filled up with the right type of stuff? How do I get filled up with the right type of fuel in my heart? Now, when Jesus was here on earth, He wanted His disciples to have the right perspective of who He was. And that gives us a picture of what we need to do in order to get filled up with faith. You know why? Some of the disciples had problems with believing that Jesus was who He said He was. He told them that Him and the Father were one, but a lot of them could not have it. A lot of us cannot have it today that He is able to heal, because we have seen so many people dying. A lot of us cannot have it that He is more than enough, because there isn't anything at home. But I want to say to us this morning, let's go back to the childlike faith. Look at John 14 verse 8. John 14, 8, Philip said, "Lord, please show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Philip was saying, "Yeah, you're telling us all of these things, but you know what? We want to see the real Father. Your claim doesn't really sit with us. Show us the Father." Are you that kind of a person that says, I'm going to wait until the pastor prays for me? You yourself can pray for your children and your children will be healed. They wanted something bigger. That is why a lot of believers are deceived today. They go to all of these false prophets where they are told lies and they're manipulated. We are just looking for products. Unless we see it, we don't believe that God is able to heal. Verse 9, Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Philip did not trust Jesus. But where we've read in 1 John 5 verse 5, it says here, who is he that overcomes? He that believes that Jesus is God. He that believes that Jesus has the divine power to heal and to deliver. He that believes that Jesus is able to open windows and doors for us in this season. So how can you say, "Show us the Father"? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing His work. What are we saying this morning? Put this down. Your perspective of Jesus determines your level of faith in Him. Your perspective of Jesus determines your level of faith in Him. When you see Jesus as the Son of the living God, you are expecting divinity to come forth when you call upon the name of Jesus. Hello, somebody. But when you see Jesus as the one crucified on the cross, you say, "The man died. How is he able to save me from my own death?" But when you view Jesus as the baby in a manger somewhere, you say, "How can a baby save me?" But the moment you see him as the resurrected king, as the Lord of Lords, the one who conquered the death, you'll be able to trust him with your life. You see, you become full of faith when you have an accurate image of Jesus, the Son of the living God. The Son of the living God. Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. John 5:5. Who then overcomes the world? Who then overcomes their situation? The one who has apprehended and has accepted the fact that Jesus is God the Son. Your victory is linked to your ability to believe that Jesus is God the Son. He is deity. He has divine power that is found in God. Now you see, in a conversation with his disciples, as he was preparing them for his death, his crucifixion, Jesus wanted to know how they viewed him. And that takes us to Matthew 16:13. Where he was talking to his disciples. Firstly, he said, "Tell me, guys, who do the people out there say I am?" And coming into the parts of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say me to be, the Son of Man?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." In other words, they were placing Jesus on the same platform as human beings. They were placing Jesus on the same platform as their mother-in-law. They were placing Jesus on the same platform as their best friend. They thought, he's John, he's Elijah, he's Moses, he's one of those great prophets. And then Jesus said, "But who do you say I am?" And Jesus is asking you this morning, who do you say he is? You see, with your words, you can say you are Jesus, the Son of the living God. But when we peel the layers and we hear your conversation by yourself, we hear the way you pray, we hear what you're expecting, it tells us that he is not the Son of the living God. He is something else. Who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ." You see, Christ is not a name, it's a title. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He did not say you are Jesus. He wanted to place Jesus aright. He is deity. You are the Christ, the Savior, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, "You are blessed, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven." Every believer needs to have an accurate revelation of Jesus. The way you see Jesus determines your level of victory. You are the Christ, the Savior of the world. You are the resurrected King. We say this about him today. Now take note of this. The person of Jesus cannot be understood by human intellect, but is understood by revelation. Somebody tonight need to go before their God and say, "Reveal to me Jesus. Help me to understand the person of Jesus. After all that I've gone through, after all the trouble, after all the pain, I want to know him. I still want to see him as the Son of the living God." Peter's confession was not born from natural source, but it was initiated by the person of the Holy Spirit. When you have gone through things that are contradicting what's written in the Bible, you need the Holy Spirit to tell you who Jesus is in your storm. Our faith is shipwrecked because of our circumstances. But when we have a revelation from heaven, nothing will move us. Nothing will change our view of Jesus. We keep on believing. We'll be like those three boys who say, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They told the king that we will not worship a false god. We will not bow down before your image. If we perish, we perish. They were convinced that there's no other God except Jehovah. You see, that the God of this world is in the business of blinding even believers from the accurate image of Jesus. Before you're born again, the god of this world is veiling the unsaved so that they don't see the light, so that they don't come to Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. But when you get born again, the onslaught does not stop. His agenda is to pervert the image of Jesus that is in your spirit man. That is why we need to continuously pray. Holy Spirit of God, renew me. Give me a revelation of Jesus. The one who overcomes, trust the character of Jesus. When Mary and Martha were facing death in their family, their brother Lazarus had died, and their friend Jesus came 4 days down the road. Maybe today your case is long. Things haven't worked for a long time, just like Lazarus, who was in the grave for 4 days and he was smelling. Your situation might be smelling, but I want you to know when our smelly situations encounter the true Jesus, that situation changes. Come on now, somebody. And Jesus was talking to them. He was encouraging Mary and Martha. He was telling them, I can do this. This situation can change. But they did not have a correct view of Jesus. John 11, 23. Jesus said to her, your brother shall rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. We are pushing our victory to the point when we are in heaven. No. We need to walk in victory right now and in this moment. But here Martha had given up on life. She was saying, I know the resurrection will happen when you come second time around, but not now. She did not believe that the Jesus in front of her was able to save the moment. She did not believe that the Jesus in front of her can save the day for her. She's saying, you can save the day when you're coming back second time around, but not now. Is that what we're saying about Jesus today? Verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Oh, what a statement. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. Jesus was talking about in the now and in the life to come. In verse 40, Jesus replied, did I not tell you that if you believed, you will see the glory of God? It was after Mary had said, because Jesus was saying, show me where you laid Lazarus. Mary was saying, Master, he is smelling. It has been 4 days. Is that what we're saying to Jesus? Jesus, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. But Jesus says, have I not told you? If you believe, you will see the glory of the Lord. Now, put this down. The track record of Jesus should prompt you and I to trust him with our lives. As we come to an end, I want you to know that Jesus has a track record. Jesus has a history that we can look back and we can see his glory. We can see what he did for us. Jesus conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the greatest enemy called death. The day that he died, the God of this world thought he is done. But he came back on the third day. Today, saints, I want you to know, we are serving a Jesus who conquered death. What death are you facing in your life right now? Every other name bows down before the name of Jesus. You see, Jesus was tested. Jesus was tried, yet without sin. There's nothing you will throw at Jesus that he will not be able to handle. The correct perspective of Jesus. We throw our hands in the air today and we say, there's no other name given unto man but by the name of Jesus. At his mention, every knee bows down and every tongue confesses that Jesus is Lord. He raised him from the dead and he gave him a name. Jesus. Jesus is seated on the right hand side of the Father, not entertaining himself, but praying for you. Last night you were not able to pray, but he was praying for you. That's the track record of the Jesus I'm talking about today. Jesus is compassionate. Jesus is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. What are you experiencing? Rejection? Are you carrying sins upon your shoulders? He is slow to anger, gracious, abounding in love. He has a powerful name that when we use that name, doors will open. I have given you my name, but up to now you haven't used my name. You shall ask anything in my name, and my Father will do it for you. This is the Jesus I'm talking about. This is the Jesus I will preach as long as I have breath in my lungs. And I want to challenge you today with this song playing, just to pray a little bit. Oh, yes, Lord. We declare this morning. If you can put the words of this song on that screen for me. Oh yes, Lord, let other names fade away. Let all other names fade away until there is only you. This is our prayer today as a church. Let all other names fade away. The names of our friends, the names of our bosses, the names of our relatives, let them fade away. Jesus, take your place. We pray this morning. Let all other names fade away. Let Jesus take his place in our hearts. Lord, I pray for your people this morning that they would exalt you. Let them put you on the throne in their lives so that they can see victory coming. Lord, we pray this morning. We declare that you are Jehovah. We declare that you are El Shaddai. We declare that you are Elohim. We declare that you are Jehovah Shalom. We declare that you are more than enough in our lives. You are Jehovah Rapha, the healer of our bodies. We declare that you are Belperazim, the God of our breakthrough. You will break through for us. Lord, we give you praise. Jesus, take your place in the name of Jesus. And everybody say, amen. This is the word that the Lord had given me today. My prayer for you as you continue with your day, place Jesus where he belongs. And when you do that, you will be victorious. So may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord preserve you. Until we meet again next week, I want you to continue coming through 9:30 every Sunday morning. Invite friends. Tell people about this service. And I believe the Lord will minister to them. And with that, thank you for being part of this service today. And God bless you. Amen and amen.